You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Well, at least I hope we're coming across to you loud and clear this week. We had an absolute disaster class last week. The Phantom Pod, the pod that never happened. But I can tell you that myself and Gary, we were here. We were talking shite to each other. It just never met the light of day, unfortunately. So we can only apologize for that. Thanks to everyone who kept faith with us and listened to the mini pod that we put out, the interview with Stephen Gray, which I know a lot of you enjoyed, the new Athlone Town CEO. It's some interesting comments. But look, hopefully we're back up and running this week. Fingers crossed that the tech stays on side, because we've got a really good show coming your way. It's been a busy few days in the League of Ireland. We had Friday matches. We had some Monday matches as well. I was at Drogheda Shelburne last night and lucky enough got to speak to Joey O'Brien and Kevin Doherty after that. And Joey O'Brien admitting that despite the European success they've had this season, it has still been a disappointing campaign as league champions. While Kevin Doherty, he had some very interesting remarks to make about some of the punditry surrounding his team's style of play. So stick around for those interviews with Joey O'Brien and Kevin Doherty. As ever, we're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. AV solutions, something we could have done with badly last week, Gary Riley.
Yeah, it was a disaster last week. Very unfortunate. That was a good episode that, as you said, Phantom Pod never saw the light of day. But yeah, look, it's a very nice system that we have in place, but just let us down last week, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, it did. What was I going to say to you? We had a couple of really good debates. Great podcast last week. I think it was one of our best ever. We had some good debates last week that, again, the listeners didn't get to hear. One of them was who has been the best player in the league this season. You put forward Graham Burke, if I remember rightly. I made an argument for Michael Duffy, and there was some honourable mentions for the likes of Matt Healy, and you very rightfully put forward Conor Keighley has been the best defender. Again, I was at Drogheda last night. Keighley was immense again last night, as was his partner outside of Mandy Quinn as well. But who has been the best player in the league this season? We'd like to get our listeners' thoughts on that. But look, Gary, I suppose we'll delve into what's been a busy few days, as I said, with some Friday and some Monday matches. We'll just run you through the results in case you missed out any of them. Friday, Sligo Rovers 1, Drogheda 1, Derry City 1, Shells 1, Cork City 1, Rovers 1, Pats 1, Galway 1. It was a beat special last week, all the 1-1s, our favourite scoreline we like to go for in the predictions league, but I guarantee you we didn't go for 1-1 in any of those. We had Bowes 2, Waterford 1. There was a dreadful goalkeeping error there from the Waterford goalie. Monday then, Galway 0, Sligo Rovers 1, Waterford 1, Shamrock Rovers 2, Pats 4, Cork City 0. That's goodbye and good night for Cork. Drogheda 2, Shells 1, the game I was at. Is the big story of the last few days Sligo Rovers finally out with the bottom two?
Yeah, I think so. Has to be. Had a great weekend, good result, 1-1 on Friday, and then followed that up with one of the most important games of the season for them. They managed to, get the win that, in the 6-pointer, they got it done over the line. No fanfare really, away from home as well. Really, copper fastens the. It's the second half of the season for Galway. They've been really not at it for a long time. I've referenced it a good few times actually for Galway. The way that they've been so poor since their win in AMDC Park against Pats. Last time Pats lost and the last time Galway won. So really diverging stories from that point on.
You say they've been poor, Galway, but they've been in so many games. The problem is they just can't put it in the back of the net. If you look through all of the recent results, they're nearly all 1-goal defeats.
Yeah, but it goes back to, if my aunt had stones, she'd be my uncle. It's the same yarn. Like, they're all, it's not possible to put that on Galway to go, it's just tough going at the minute. It's been tough going for 3 months, lad. It's the same shit for the last 3 months. That doesn't add up. I know their goal difference is only -9, which is a kind of an outlier in that half of the table. But like, it's still not good enough. And, you know, you can go on about, oh, we were close and it was this and, you know, me, you know, I didn't have the soup beforehand or whatever shit you want to talk about. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They're not doing it. They had a real opportunity last night to get in at Galway at home, big crowd, all the rest of it, and the shit the togs. And now look where they are. Like, this is major problemo at the moment for Galway. And I find it very hard. I know we'll come on and talk about Waterford now in a moment, but like, I don't see them picking up enough points to catch Waterford.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know who's in a worse position. Well, I do know it's Galway because they're 3 points worse off, but Galway can't score goals and Waterford, for the life of them, cannot defend. I wouldn't entirely rule out Galway catching Waterford. It's amazing to think that, you know, Sligo are still only 3 points above these two teams, or above Galway and ahead of Waterford on goal difference. And I think most people now have it in their mind that Sligo are kind of going to sail into the sunset, really, and be safe for this season.
So you say you think Galway are going to, or sorry, Sligo are going to be sail off into the sunset? Is that what?
Yeah, that's. I think that's how most people feel. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, if you look through their results and, you know, the progression that they've made, apart obviously that FAI Cup boo-boo down in Kerry wasn't ideal, but I said after that I didn't think it was going to let it... Well, that was on last week's pod.
I can confirm he said this, yeah.
Yes, that it wasn't going to impact them.
Yeah, I was concerned. I was concerned how it might affect them, but credit to them. Draw against Drogheda, a game they probably could have won, and then the game they win last night, 4 points from possible six in two absolutely must-not-lose games. It's a great response from Sligo to what happened in Tralee.
100%. They got it over the line. They worked really hard, had to defend, got their goals, did exactly what they needed to do. And this is like the crunch time, obviously the crunch time of the season. Do you know what I mean? There's five games left. You have to do it now. Do you know what I mean? And like Galway pissing about with their very close in games and we're losing by the odd goal. No, they're conceding plenty of goals, lad. Plenty of goals. And it's not, I don't think it's right to even like be trying to make excuses for them. They got the shite kicked out of them against Pats in the cup, right? And I know they had a man sent off and they brought it to extra time. They lost at home to Derry, who had also had a man sent off. They lost at away to Cork. I know I'm going back here, but like, even they conceded four at home against Waterford in July. You know, like, these are like, you know, signposts to shit. Mm-hmm. And they followed every signpost to get there. Yeah, it's just no use. You know, this idea, I had to score and, you know, we're in the game and, you know, the ball didn't fall this way. That doesn't go on for 3 months. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't go on for that length of time.
Look, obviously, we all know, though, there has been a lot going on behind the scenes there at Galway as well. And that's surely got to be having an impact on John Caulfield and his players.
No mistake about it. But yeah, the right way to repay Ollie is to not get relegated.
I still think they might find a way out of this. They play Waterford on the last day of the season. You mentioned their goal difference is much better than the teams around them. If they can keep it to within 3 points, bring it to that last game of the season, who knows?
Yeah, but like, I know we're a few weeks out of that and a lot of things can happen in between now and then. But we have Waterford, a side who cannot stop a bus, and we have a Galway team that cannot score for shit.
Yeah.
By that time, I believe that Waterford will still be ahead of them in the table. Galway it'll be a nil-all draw, and terrible. And you know, we have to look into the first division winners now and see what happens. Not good.
Mm. Just on Waterford.
And actually, coming on to that.
Yeah,
I know it's very early days, and we've absolutely no idea who'll come out of the playoffs in the first division. I definitely have to rejig my premonition of the first division team won't have a hope in against the Premier Division team. I don't think that's just that handy anymore. Particularly with the like of Galway, find it very hard for them to get on the right side of that tie.
I'd probably still fancy them, but yeah, maybe it isn't as black and white as we once thought. Just on Waterford, I mean, the goal they give away, you know, I know these things happen, but they don't have the bandwidth, I think you said to me the other night, in Bishopsgate to be conceding goals like they did in Dalymount on Friday, the goalkeeping mistake. They missed. They played quite well in that game. They could have easily got something out of it, but they just don't have the room for mistakes like that. And then they play Rovers on Monday. Rovers score from a long throw-in. And credit to McMullen, the goalkeeper, after that awful moment he had in Dalymount on Friday. He made a brilliant save before that goal. And then they don't repay their keeper by not defending the long throw properly. And they score from that. And then Matt Healy, way too much time. He's able to take three touches and then get a shot away. And there's still nobody within 5 yards of him when he gets the shot away. Lonergan scored a good goal. Rovers defending. Oh, I don't know what Cleary was at with the header. I've seen a few things from Rovers over the last couple of games. Now, they should have beaten Cork in Turner's Cross on Friday. They missed a lot of chances. It was a lovely goal from Grant. And look, it's a wonder goal that got Cork the point. But just seeing a couple of things in defence from Rovers that I don't want to see when they go into Europe, put it that way.
No, but I totally agree. And like I've been on record on this pod for quite a while going on about their poor defensive mistakes. Like, you know, they do give up chances. Like, for all the talk about Pico and stuff like that, as I said before, he probably owes the league 10 red cards in his time. And they get plenty, you know, they do get into sticky situations themselves. There's no doubt about it. But I think for the goal on Friday to drop 2 points away to Cork in a game that, you know, they really shouldn't be dropping anything at all, I think was like, how were they in the situation that they're only 1-0 up in that game? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's a team that are fighting, and they did fight on Friday.
Didn't fight on Monday, though.
I think I only do it once a week. You know what I mean? Like, Rovers should be putting teams to bed quite, you know, with the firepower they have, the great season that they've had. You know, everything has been working lovely for them this season. And they're in pole position in the table, have been for a long time. You can't be 1-0 up away to the bottom team in the table, because he will drop points. You know, something like that will happen. A screamer from, you know, 35 yards or whatever it was, it's you're gonna, that can happen. We'll say, though, like you mentioned already, the stuff I thought Mikkelsen's goal for Bowes was really good. Fennin was poor. But he took it really well, turned really sharply in the box after getting on the end of the pullback, and drives it into the net. But like, you're looking through the game and you're looking at like, the keeper did have to make a couple of saves, a couple of chances from Rovers that they didn't really make use of, but the defending from Waterford was just dire. You know, one ball over the top, you know, Noonan or whoever, Gaffney, Annie, you couldn't list as long as your arm, number of players could be waiting there to pounce on it. And just last night, Shamrock Rovers didn't really make much of it, and they should have been more ahead, really and truly. But I thought a good example, as you mentioned already, Matt Healy's goal, the space that he's given at the edge of the box,
crazy,
is just crazy. And I know I referenced that comical goal that they conceded against Sligo.
Yeah,
where there's like eight lads just running around after the ball. It's, you know, it's a bizarre situation, and it's just not good enough, really. But it's stuff like that, as I said, like I would have given out before about the, like, a Mark Connolly not being able to identify danger. It's just really not good enough. But look, that's why Waterford are in the position that they're in.
Yeah, so look, looks between Waterford and Galway for that playoff spot. Cork City, any chance of a revival completely killed off with that hammering last night against St. Pat's. They do incredibly well to dig something out of the game against Rovers. And then I just don't know what happened to them last night. I thought it was a disgraceful performance from Cork. Redmond puts them 1-0 up, Pat's with a free header. A couple of minutes later, Gravosti gets a free header inside the box, doesn't score.
So they get just when you mentioned, just exactly on that, Redmond with a free header. Oh, like, who else was there?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you have to stop a few lads. You know, media is a big lad. He can get on the end of a header. Redmond, Turner. Yeah. You know, these are the lads. These aren't surprises. You know what I mean? Like the dogs on the street know that you have to mark Redmond.
Well, it's definitely, it shouldn't come as a surprise when it's happened two times in the game already that you've given up three headers. And then for the second goal, media just completely bamboozles Crowley at the back post and beats him way too easily to make it 2-0. Redmond then put another header wide from a corner, again on 34 minutes. 56 minutes, Rory Feely mugged in broad daylight by Amelia. Amelia's in 1v1 and somehow blasts it about 20 foot wide. But just a minute later, Feely gives it back to him. And this time he scores. And then the fourth goal's from a corner as well. Now it was a composed finish from Levy, but it comes from another corner. I mean, that is just an atrocious performance from Cork City.
Yeah, no, it's desperate. And like, you know, for a team that's down there, like... you know, if you have Levy or whatever with all his dribbling and you have Melia can also get by players and stuff like that, you know, oh, a piece of class, you know, a lad beats three lads and...
That's what I was going to say. Pats didn't really have to work that hard to win this game because everything was given to them.
Oh, handed straight to them.
They didn't have to create chances themselves.
Correct. It all came from... A lot of them came from set pieces where, you know, you'd be expecting... Right, lads, we can't go toe-to-toe to like a Mason Media and stuff like that. So we'll do our best for those situations. But I'll tell you one thing, lads. We won't be conceding from corners or set pieces. And that's exactly what they managed to do. A heap of times. They were totally killed in the game from, you know, rubbish like that last night. And it gave them absolutely no hope of coming out of that game whatsoever. Really poor performance. And look, it's just not good enough. It's just... You know, no way around it.
Mealy up to 12 goals now, only one behind Podge Hammond. He does miss an awful lot of chances, though. I mentioned that one where he was in 1v1 after Robin Feely and he put a good 5 or 6 wide of the post. He missed the 1v1 on Friday as well against Galway. Clark made a great save, and that's why it was so. We all know Brendan Clark, such a reliant performer down the years. He was caught out badly for the Sligo Rovers goal last night, so that's probably a sign that. You know, it's not a... I've mentioned there that they can't score goals, but you're probably right too, that they're giving up plenty of really stupid goals Galway as well, something that they haven't done in the past. So it's not a one-solution-fix-all problem there. There's big, big problems at Galway. But just on media, 12 goals is a brilliant return for an 18-year-old in the League of Ireland, but could have a few more. It's the one area of his game he probably needs to tidy up on is the out-finishing, because... won't get as many chances when he goes beyond.
I think that's the case. You know, a good, we'll say I was at the first game, Hegelmann FC, the European game, and I thought Pats were on top in the first half. Now, they totally drifted out of the game. I thought they were quite poor in the game. And if you remember, they needed a penalty to dig them out of that situation. But I found in that game, there was a couple of chances, like right, you know, between 6-yard box and the penalty spot, where he managed to like drive them over the bar, you know, from so close in. It just seems to be like a maybe a lack of composure or like trying to like snatch at the chance, maybe.
I suppose the positive is, though, that when he misses those chances, the next chance he seems to put away. That's important.
Yes, but I'd say he's like, I was watching a video of Wommy Lunch there last week. What was I watching? I think it was a video of all Ruud van Nistelrooy's goals against for Man United. Now, I'm not comparing Mason Media to Ruud van Nistelrooy, but you know, he was always in the right place at the right time and was able to finish them when the chance was popped to him. If you look at, and maybe I'm misremembering or making it up in my head, but like a lot of Mason Mounier's goals are when he's running towards goal, he can finish. You know, there was a goal there a few weeks ago against, I was actually at the bloody game, I can't remember who they were playing, and he rounds the keeper. Was it Sligo they were playing? Maybe. Rounds the keeper. It was down at the far end left as you look at it from the camera angle. And he's well able to do that, but maybe like the chance to fall to him in the box isn't the chance for him. Maybe. Would you agree with that?
Well, the chance that he missed the other night, he was running in on goal, so I don't
yes,
know.
But he came up a moment later by running through on goal after getting that ball over the top after Feely kicked it away.
Look, he's not going to be perfect.
My man Feely hasn't changed at all, actually, in the interim period, unfortunately.
Look, he's an 18-year-old. It's probably good. There's areas of improvement in his game. Means there's plenty more potential there yet. But yeah, it's just one little area he might need to tidy up on, but
I wouldn't just be like, oh yeah, it's great that he's shit at these five things and he might be better at them in 5 years' time. Yeah, let's get the finished article as soon as humanly possible here. Do you know what I mean? This fella could be playing for Ireland in a few years.
You're very harsh on the lad.
No, I'm not at all. I think he's a great player. And he definitely has lots of potential, but like I don't want to start going on about, oh, it's great that like he's, you know, 60% there and he's loads of potential to go into something else. Well, why is that something that we want? No?
Look, I suppose that was the relegation part of the show, the weekend covered. The next most interesting thing is obviously the race for the top four. Drogheda with a bit of a six-pointer last night, beating Shelburne. Derry and Shell's drawn on Friday night. What, Pat's big win for Pat's last night. Who's in pole position for that fourth spot?
I think it has to be Pat's, doesn't it? I know. I just think the you made a point of it there a few weeks ago that like they're not losing games. I think if you're not losing games and you're not conceding enough goals, you always have a chance at the like Amelia and stuff up front. So I think they're in pole position for four, to be honest.
Yeah, I was disappointed with Shell last night, I have to say, and we'll hear from Joey O'Brien very shortly. The two goals they gave away were very poor, but they started the game really well last night in Drogheda. The first 5-10 minutes, they were all overdrawn, and it looked like a matter of time before they scored. And Dennison made a really good save early on. I think it was from Harry Wood, if I remember rightly. And they did, you'll hear Joey reference some of the chances they missed. I think John Martin missed one from a couple of yards late in the game. But I just found for large periods of the game, it was almost like they ran out of ideas, really. And I know you love these words, probably your favorite words in the English language, but I think you were right about something. You said a good few podcasts ago, I think it was before some of the big European games for Shells, maybe before the Linfield games, you were like, not sure Meepo is going to be the man. Yeah. And just watching him last night, one thing, he chucks himself to the floor way too much. He gets involved with the ref too much, gets frustrated, throws the arms up a lot. Now he does work incredibly hard off the ball. There was one early on where he charged down Luke Dennison, and Dennison's just lucky his clearance trickled the wrong side of the post, but his touch just wouldn't be great at times. Decision making isn't always the best. I think I'd probably be starting to lean your way and say I'm not sure he's going to be the go-to man over the next few years for Shelburne.
Yeah, I don't think so. I never felt it, you know, it was going to be him. I know you think back to Duffer when he signed him, and you know, talking him up as if he was Maradona coming in. But never just clicked with me, and I saw very little throughout the season to change my mind on that. I just think he's a, you know, decent player, but not enough to lead the line of a team that wants to be challenging for a title, to be quite honest.
I have to say, Harry Wood was an absolute joy to watch last night. I'd pay in to watch him. He's, I think when he's on,
yeah, and got the goal as well, to be fair.
Yeah, Dennison unlucky, made an outrageous save, and then I thought Drogheda were a bit guilty, kind of ball watching, or some of them were appealing for something offside, or ball went out of play or something. I just thought Wood got a little bit more time than he should inside the area, but he was brilliant last night for Shells. couple of players that really, really struggled for Shells last night. Sambone had to be hooked and Sean Gannon had to be hooked as well. They had really, really bad nights at the office.
Yeah, I thought Sean, for the goal, I don't know what Sean Gannon was doing, like going down like that. I thought it was absolutely...
Went down way too softly. I think John Gill said it on commentary as well. I was watching back the highlights today, even though I was there, and I would have agreed he went down way too softly. Now, Evan Caffrey with a dreadful back pass, but Shelburne just didn't react to it at all, did they? The lad Kareem had time, because funny enough, it's an unbelievable finish from Kareem, but I was sat down the front row of the stand last night in Drogheda, and a couple of the Drogheda fans over me were roaring at him to pass it inside. I don't know who was the player in the box for Drogheda, but they were roaring at Kareem to give the ball off. And he kind of, it's almost like he thought about passing it, then he said, no, I'll shoot, thought about passing it again, and then he did shoot. Like, they were very, very slow to put him under any sort of pressure there, Shelburne.
Yeah, they were. It was like a dream sequence. It was like they were waiting for the ref to like bail them out with a free for Sean Gannon or something like that. But it just never materialized. I thought they were just not able to identify the danger. You know, didn't come across. The keeper runs back into the goal. No one comes across to actually engage with Kareem. And actually, if you look back at the goal, his touch was dire before he smacks it in. Like, it's way too far away from me. He didn't need to do that. But no one was on top of him to kick it away. He was given all that space in the box to go and do that.
It's funny you should mention his touch. He's very raw. He's very, very raw. But, like, as we can see by that finish, he does have a bit of talent about him. But,
Yeah, gonna... no, I understand that. But, look, great finish. Set him on their way.
Yeah, second goal is poor too. It's a set piece as well.
One header into Twat. I think there was a lad beside Quinn that could have taken on that chance as well. Mm. There was like two, like everybody crowded around the ball coming in. No one attacks it. I think it was Connor Keady that headed it onto his partner.
Who else?
Yeah, who else is right? And then he does well to get around the keeper. And I think it was booted in by Gannon, maybe, was it?
It wasn't Gannon.
Put in anyway.
It was an own goal.
Gannon was off at that point, was he?
No. Ooh. Was he? I can't remember. It wasn't Gannon anyway, but...
All right, okay. Well, couldn't possibly say that your pal Gannon had scored an own goal, no?
No, it was... I just, Joey Ubrey, we'll hear from Joey shortly now, and Kevin Doherty as well. Joey referenced kind of the amount of chances they had and the amount of ball they had, but I just thought for large periods, really, they weren't really at it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, but like, what I think the possession that Drogheda had is 23%. Like, but they scored the goals. They won.
They were
game.
Clinical. Like, I can't really think of Drogheda having too many chances outside of the goals, but they were clinical. They took them. Where Shells did create chances, but really, when Drogheda went 2-0 up, it looked like Drogheda were cruising to victory. It was only when they conceded deep in stoppage time that they looked under pressure. Then there was 7 minutes added on at the end, which the Drogheda lads couldn't believe, but. I thought for large periods of the second half, Shells were very passive. There was a lot of backwards and sidewards passing, and they just weren't really at the races for me last night.
Yeah, well, there you go. That says it all. Like,
Look, I think we've kind of teased the two interviews there, so I think we'll go to them because they're interesting. Because Joey O'Brien admitted, as we put up the snippet on our Twitter there, that, you know, as league champions, it has been a disappointing season for them, even with the European success. And Kevin Doherty had some very interesting remarks to make about some of the punditry about his team's style of play. As we know, there was one pundit in particular that described Drogheda's style of play has been puke ball.
A bit of rooting at him, were you?
On the TV this season. So I wanted to get Kevin Doherty's thoughts on that. So here's Joey O'Brien and Kevin Doherty on Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Yeah, disappointed. Listen, started the game quite well, got control of the game. Created a great chance, obviously didn't take a chance. I could try to control the game, really, I felt, and then obviously we coughed up a really bad pass in the back line, obviously. It leads to a clear opportunity from nothing, really, and then sort of chasing the game. But again, I think for the possession we had, chance we created, I think we missed two or three chances there to move from 2 yards out, really. And here, if you don't take them, you're not going to win a game at this level. You know where we are coming into these two games, Friday, Monday, what I sort of can do with you, the position that I can deal with you. In the league, I suppose Friday again, going up to Derry on the road, the way the game panned out and stuff like that. Here was a point that was come here to get 3 points. So, we didn't do that. So, it's a disappointing weekend.
That Hacking game's obviously not far away. Got Waterford before that. Are you confident enough, the squad strong enough now for the
2-3 games a week situation you're going to be going into?
Yeah, listen, I don't think that's any burden. Obviously, I made changes there tonight, but I mean, you come up here, I think we had probably 75% possession and about 20 shots and 3 missed chances from 3 yards out. You know, it doesn't really matter where the squad's at, really. If you miss them chances, you're not going to win a game ball.
And the second goal you conceded as well, set piece, that must have been very frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. And the lads, they know it. And listen, we've done a lot of work on them, and it's that one. If you don't win the first ball, you have to win the second contact. We didn't do that. And here, they obviously won the first flick on, and their lads didn't drop in to get the second ball. So again, that's just, again, switching off, and you have control of the game. They're always a danger, I suppose, on sets. And listen, they made us pay.
Is Harry Wood okay? Just seemed to be a bit of concern about his elbow during the game.
I think he's just banged out on the ground or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, listen, and again, it's just a game of time. Obviously, at this point, but tonight it's bouncing into Friday night now on Talca against Waterford. It's a massive game. And a game that we need to win. That's, pressure. We talked to air lads about pressure and putting that pressure on you. And you play with this football club, it's about winning games. Where we've been the last couple of years, this is what it's about. So it's a massive game on Friday, and we need to win. Because ultimately, here, when you're at this stage of the season, it's about points on the board, and the aim is obviously to get Europe, and it's about coming to these places and winning games. You can dominate games all you want, but if you don't get wins here, we're not going to get where we want to go.
Obviously, it was a bit of a 6-pointer tonight in the race for the top four. It's not terminal just yet. You still have the game in hand. But if the season was to end today, would you describe this as being a successful season for Shelburne, given what you've done in Europe? Or will the league always be the bread and butter?
Definitely, yeah. Listen, it's disappointing. Obviously, we're defending champions. And our points total is where it's not. But I think that game is reflective to a lot of our performance this season. We've dominated teams this year, and I know teams can't say that, but I think really if you look over there at overall games, like of where it's at, we can even shorten it down to sort of my period in charge, the games we've played and like the chances we've missed. I'm thinking back to the first even couple of games, Waterford away, Galway away, and that was them two games we left so many points behind, it'd be a disappointing season where we're at. But here, listen, the aim is to get Europe, and I suppose if we pulled that out of the bag, then it sort of, it gives us some small comfort of defending champions.
And never an easy game when you come down here, and I suppose when Damien left, maybe Kevin's name was linked with the job, a little bit of Shelburne. Are you impressed with what he's done here over the last few years?
Yeah, listen, here, he's done a great job, but to be honest, I don't really care what any other manager does at any other team. This is my football club, this is where I'm at, and this is obviously when you're coming up here, what's coming, the style of play they have, how they play, how they ask questions. Here, a lot of it, they give up possession, you have a lot of domination. But here, listen, I suppose walking away here after that game that we didn't get a point out of, it's disappointing.
Kevin, great win. It was comfortable enough for a long time, and then a very, very nervy last 7 minutes or so.
Yeah, it always is, but credit to the lads. We were calm, to be fair. Not likely me to be calm on the sideline, but once they scored, we got everyone nice and calm, and credit the lads, played it out very well in the corner and stuff, and very professional. But great result. Really, really great result. I'm really delighted with it.
Unbelievable strike from Kareem.
Yeah. Probably isn't worth saying it, but it's how he gets it in the first place. That's what we need, and that's how I spoke to the lads about. In order for us to win any game, and I've said this, we have to outwork the other team. We have to run for it. We have to run more. We have a certain way that we have to play. That's not saying we can't play, but again, we're coming up against the league champions here. We're after advancing to the Conference League, but my players can play really, really well, as can be seen. As I said, the likes of Darian, we've scored some great goals this year, but we do have to work harder than everyone else, I think, and if we're going to win more duels and run further, and we did that tonight, and as I said, I'm very, very proud of the players, and particularly because, again, we get a decent point in Sligo, which other teams haven't managed to do. I think they've won away from home tonight. And it's like, drugs are falling off again. Anyway, people can say they want, but other teams haven't gone down there and got results. We pulled ourselves back from a really poor performance in the first half last week on Friday, and the lads showed serious character, and it's always questions and questions again. I'll be questioned on Friday if we don't win or whatever, but you're playing against Derry, who like a really good side, like Shelburne or like Sligo are. I think any point you get in this league, you have to work so hard for it, and sometimes you're not going to get them. But we've managed to, what have we got now, 31 games, and we've lost 7. For us, that is a massive, massive progress.
Just going back to about how your team play, I actually really enjoy you coming out here and watching the two centre backs. I have to say, I think there's a real art in how they defend. Conor Keighley and Andy Quinn, have they been up there as two of the best centre backs in the country this season?
100%. I just spoke about Andy Quinn there because I absolutely adore Conor and I've had him a long time, numerous times. Maybe Andy doesn't get as much because, but he's been absolutely brilliant. And Conor has it too, and James Boulder. But yeah, look, this is, it's weird. Like, you're looking at Arsenal, Man City, yes, saying they're starting to talk about defending properly now, and they're starting to talk about long throws, and they're starting, like, I don't know. It's like you have to make the most of what you have. Different teams play different styles because they have different players, and there's a different market for players. We sign honest, hungry players that don't, as I said, don't get me, I'm very, and make sure this isn't the tone of the article if it's in Extra Time. Or I know I'm not saying our players can't play with some brilliant players. You look at the Darren Markey, the Shane Farrells, we've sown the Ryan Brennan, brilliant players, but we have to play the way we do to get as maximum results, and I think we have a good idea on that.
Not to, just on that subject, you've brought it up there, not to dig up old ground, but I suppose some pundits have been critical of your team's style of play this season. Is that lost among all? As you said, your team's very, very strong at the basics and the art of defending. Does the quality of your team technically get lost in that argument at times?
100%, but you have to look at the type of people that are saying this stuff as well. Like, probably speaks for itself. I won't go too far, but there's a reason why these people aren't. Anyway, I'm not going to go too far. But that's, I was a centre half myself, and again, it depends on the group. When we were bottom of the league last year, nobody said this anything about us. Nobody mentioned our style of play. Nothing. Second half of the season, we scored 16 goals in 2 weeks. No one mentioned about style of play, but we played the same way. So honestly,
do you want to take it as a compliment then? You're kind of upsetting the apple cart a bit. No,
I don't take it as a compliment. I take it as, if you're going to hear, not criticism, maybe it is criticism, or they try and pawn it off as like as backhanded compliments, like, you know, I always look at the people or who are saying it. So it bothers me if it's someone that I would listen to, if someone else says something that I wouldn't listen to. It just doesn't bother me. Look, I've just only 220-odd, 30 games managed at this stage. What people say about us, I can take it or leave it. Doesn't matter. And as I said, if it's someone, if it's a friend of mine, if it's someone that I respect saying these things, grant. If it's not, don't listen to it.
One player that is obviously a very highly technical player you've been able to call on again in the last few weeks is Paul Doyle. How great is it to have him back at long last?
Oh, brilliant. He's fair to Doyle. Like, he works so, so hard to get himself back. He needs an operation and everything, because he had bad luck with the injury. He actually did something against us up in Oriel Park, the famous night. Into dancing. Then he did it in Sligo for us, and did a bad job, to be fair to him, but worked his backside off to get himself right. So I'm really, really happy with Doyle. He's been an excellent signing for us, because he shows the work ethic. He does an awful lot, like, but he obviously hasn't got a lot of game time because of the injury, but he's been brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant round pace even when he was injured, but coming on, that was great.
And finally, how important is this win tonight? Not only, look, it was a bit of a 6-pointer, I suppose, in the race for the top four, but you've spoke recently about the number of gut punches you've taken over the last number of months. How much of a morale booster is a win like this?
We have, yeah. And sod's lad, if something, like, if we didn't defend so well or control, as you said, the extra time, so it wouldn't happen again. But that's, we've had a season of that. Yeah, it was actually Dan that asked me the question. We have had it. Obviously, it's the biggest one of all, was the European thing, but we just keep bouncing back and hopefully we keep doing it.
Yeah, well, hopefully you get back there. Thanks, Kevin.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net, or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, great to hear from Joey O'Brien and Kevin Doherty. Let's move into the first division. Friday night, UCD 2, Kerry 1. No follow-up from Kerry's dream result in the cup, which we talk about on last week's Phantom Pod. Bray Wanderers 3, Finn Harps 2 in an absolutely wild game. Goals and cards galore. Wexford 3, Cove 2. Treaty 3, Athlone 2. Longford 3, Dundalk 2. And then last night, Athlone 0, Kerry 0, let it down for the goals in every game scenario. And Finn Harps 1, Wexford 3 was the full-time score last night. I suppose the big story was Dundalk's defeat in Longford.
Well, you can confirm this as well on the from the Phantom Pod. I said Longford Town would win.
You did? What did you go for? Let me have a look here.
Oh, probably 1-0, was it?
You went 2-1 to Longford.
Ooh, unlucky is right. It was a great performance from Longford Town. I know they were definitely helped by, I would say, no Daryl Horgan to be concerned about, no A. Durbin to be concerned about. So that obviously gave them a bit more brain space anyway. But I thought they were very good in the night. They were one of their best performances of the season. Mm. They were also down to 10 men for half an hour.
Yeah.
Never a red card, by the way. But yeah, it was a great night for Longford Town. And, you know, it was a bright spark in a not a fantastic season. So great result. Gives Cove a bit of a reprieve after their own, you know, filling the togs down in Wexford from being 2-1 up as well. But Dundalk couldn't capitalise on that, and Longford Town duly stopped them.
Was there an element of we were talking before the game, obviously Saturday, and you were saying Feck Cove anyway, they've rogered us here now by losing last night. Dundalk are gonna be, you know, you said they'll be two. I said to you, the only thing is Dundalk could come down the road here a little bit giddy, thinking everything's going their way, and might just come here, you know, take their eye off the ball. And you said, no, they're way too professional for that. I've been speaking to a lot of Dundalk fans, and a lot of Dundalk fans have used the phrase that, you know, we just thought we were going to come down there and roll you over. Was there an element of that?
Yeah, there was an element of that. There was a, you know, when was the last time Dundalk lost? I think it was like, you know, 2 or 3 months ago.
In the league, it was July. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you know, they definitely had a swagger, which is rightly placed, I think, is fair enough to say. Would that be right?
Like, I'd seen them last week against Bray, and I was very, again, didn't go out obviously on the pod last week, but I was very impressed with them in Bray against Bray last week. But you remember me saying it last week on the Phantom Pod, as we keep calling it, I was talking about how important A. Durbin was last week for them. That he set everything up, dictated everything, kept winning the ball back, was keeping on players' cases all the time. And we had only spoke recently, I think it was actually during the emergency pod in regards to Yerevan. I brought up A. Durbin and Daryl Horgan, their importance in that team in terms of holding everyone to accountability. And as you said, the two players were missing the other night. And Dundalk in the second half were very, very poor.
Yeah, they didn't seem like they had any real capacity to do anything in the game. Like, they just seemed to, the game kind of passed them by.
Yeah, yeah.
Only until, like, they would say the last 10 minutes or so, Cian Moore for Longford had to make a couple of good saves.
The saves you'd expect him to make, they were straight at him.
Yeah, they were definitely straight at him, but, like, you know, that was the only time Dundalk really approached Longford Town into making, like, forcing Cian Moore into any type of save.
Longford looked the more threatening team with 10 men. They could have scored a couple more on the break.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, Aaron Doran, who was sensational on the night. By a mile. Not by a mile. Longford Town had plenty of good performances. Alex O'Brien, who got his first goal for the club, I thought he was very good. But Aaron Doran did have a chance to make it 4-1. Mm. And just couldn't, just didn't really work Peter Cherry enough in the goal. But there was chances for Longford Town. After the red card, I never thought Longford Town were down to 10 men here, and you'd know it.
No.
That never crossed my mind once watching the game, which is a crazy thing to say, particularly when, you know, it was 2-1 to Longford Town at the time. It would have given... when that red card was given up, in my head, I was kind of like, okay, well, this will maybe shake Dundalk into life.
Yeah.
They've been given a chance here. They've been very poor, but now they have an opportunity here to sort it out. And they were nowhere near. Nowhere near.
Like, even we've spoken about it a good bit on the show this season, that Dundalk fans have really been on the case of Dean Ebbe, that he hasn't been at. We knew. I said that as soon as we turned up at the ground Saturday, I said to you, watch Dean Ebbe restored to the starting 11 here because of his record against Longford. Completely anonymous in the game.
Yeah, shocking. Absolutely shocking. He was just a non-entity throughout the game. Yeah, it was just really poor. Even
Anna Machoon, worst player on the pitch by a mile, on not to single anyone out, but he had a nightmare.
Yeah, dire. Absolutely dire throughout the game. You know, you can look at a heap of lads, really. Keith Ward, you know, you'd imagine that in a slower paced game in the first division, that he'd be well able to, you know, move stuff around and make stuff happen. Did nothing in the game when he came on. Just lots of non-performances from Dundalk throughout the game. Really disappointing performance. But Longford were full value for it.
100%, yeah.
They stopped Dundalk. Defend it well through the bodies. Not that it was like, you know, all hands at a pump job, but like, there was a couple of really good blocks that were put in. Jamie Egan made a couple of them himself. Great to see him start the game after his injury problems this season. Lots of good news stories here.
Were you surprised by the reaction of the Dundalk fans at the end? There was a bit of, I think, team from certain pockets of the away and got booed. There was quite an angry reaction at the end. Only third defeat of the season. I thought that was a bit much, to be honest.
Are you surprised?
I was surprised, yeah.
Right. Have you not seen Dundalk and their fans over the last couple of years? Come on now, you don't have to have selective memory here.
There's a sense of entitlement there?
Yeah, massive. Absolutely, you know, probably one of the highest in Irish football, I'd say. Without a shadow of a doubt. You know, they're probably still will win the league.
I know you sent me an article today as well, Kieran Kilduff, talking about nerves. Now that the finishing line is fast approaching.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious, actually. The player, like the people in the squad, the people like who have won stuff, you know, Darrell Horgan, a former international, won plenty of stuff with Dundalk in his first stint. Killer himself, Dane Massey now knocking around the squad as well. Like, you know, they have every advantage in the league, and they're a full-time team. Well, what nerves are you talking about, pal? Rubbish. Total garbage.
You mentioned Cove, the defeat on Friday against Wexford. What a few days for Wexford, beating Cove and then beating Finn Harps last night as well. Really re-injecting life into their playoff push, which looked almost dead up until the weekend.
Honest to God, yeah. I was like, how are they going to rescue this? But yeah, they went ahead and did it. Big talk about that offside goal kind of situation that was there for Mikey Rowe against, I think that brought it to 2-2 in the game. Thought it was a mad decision. He did look offside. I know it was.
Yeah, he did. You obviously don't have the wide angle or anything, but even the commentators, I think, themselves
couldn't believe that he was let go through. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's fair enough. They're still 3 points off. Now Wexford have Athlone to play in Athlone on Friday, and Treaty have to go down to Kerry. So are you looking here that they're both level on points maybe after this game?
Possibly.
At the weekend, you know, I think that's going to be very difficult. But Wexford, you know, you have to get yourself into a position to be able to worry about that. And, you know, they've done really well to dig it out over the last few weeks. They came back from 2-0 down against Longford, got a very good draw at home to Dundalk, and then followed that up with a great win against Cove, and then again away on a Monday to Harps. You know, really good stuff there.
We spoke about Cork and free headers, Harps last night.
Jesus, mother. What? A header, a hat-trick of headers.
A hat-trick of headers.
What are you talking about? And I think I was actually going to message, was it Stato LOI on Twitter? Like, when was the last time I got a hat-trick of headers? Yeah. I think it was 2005, maybe? Jeez, I read the post today. I was like, I must remember that for the pod. Now I can't remember it fully, but it's not exactly a common occurrence. But he was given the freedom to do so. You could nearly argue that each of the three headers was a free header.
Yeah, they were.
Dire. Yeah. And you know, after a couple of good wins for Harps, you know, the consistency has killed them, and they're falling away. And there's 4 games left in the season, and they're 6 points off it. I don't think it's really a runner.
Yeah, I always thought it was a bit of a false position, to be honest. They were winning games there, and I kind of wasn't really sure how, because I think we've said it time after time, you know, the 4 games between Harps and Longford this season, they've all been incredibly tight contests.
Yeah.
There's not a whole pile between them. They're both in similar situations as clubs. They've been in the Premier in recent years, and they've come down, and they're trying to rebuild, and a lot of young players knocking around. I think they're in very similar positions. I don't think there's a whole pile between them, and I've been saying for a long time, even when Longford had a few positive results, I didn't think they were really in the mix for the playoffs. And Harps, I always felt like they were probably going to come up short, even though I think I said a few weeks ago they were probably favourites. But just looking at them, there is a lack of quality there at times.
Yeah, there is, absolutely. You know, particularly how do you concede 3 goals from headers? You know what I mean?
Treaty have had such a huge drop off. It's allowed teams like Harps and Longford just probably to linger around.
And not get rid of them.
On Treaty, they nearly made an absolute bags of it against Athlone the other night. That was another crazy game.
Yeah, it was. It was a good result. They also dug it out.
Any result at this stage of the season is a good result, but some of the defending, the decision making from Athlone, what is Dylan Hand at for the penalty at the end? That is complete madness.
You'd have to refresh my memory there.
He just goes straight through the back of a lad in the penalty area and gives away the penalty.
Well, I think I don't know. It's very hard to like really measure. You know, the defending across the season has been so poor.
They did look more threatening going forward for once than in recent months, but defensively, it's just again the decision making. I think did they give away 2 penalties in this game? I think they did, if I'm not wrong. But yeah, the hand one in particular at the end, this I just don't know what he's doing there.
Yeah, but like. Yeah, they gave away a penalty. I think it was to make it. Oh, but wasn't the penalty saved? Was it? Or was that last week?
There was one game where the penalty was saved twice, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, that was last night. Oh, yeah. The penalty had to be retaken last night, but the penalty for first penalty for Treaty went off the crossbar.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, it's just like. I don't see how it's so easy to play against the defense. It's nearly like, oh my God, I can't believe the opponent has done this and now they might score. Like it's, you know, just a bizarre situation that they seem to be in on a regular basis. You know, and even the tackle for Dylan Hand, like I have it up here, like he's reacting as if like, I didn't touch him that.
Yeah,
but like he clearly does chop him down, like
all axed him. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't understand that. You know, it's the 89th minute. You've had such a terrible season. You were winning in the game,
but the Treaty lad, he's got his back to goal. If I remember it rightly, do I?
Yeah, you know he does. Yeah, he's
not even on the half turn. Like you can just stand him up there.
Yeah, just get close to him and don't let him turn, and then it's over.
Yeah.
But that wasn't done, and. You know, drop points again.
Yeah, and then as you said, missed a penalty last night against Kerry. A couple of bad results for Kerry there, dropping points away to Athlone, losing to UCD. I suppose that's...
But isn't that the, like, what else is it going to be from Kerry? Do you know what I'm saying?
Inconsistent, like.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like the, you know, such a great result against
Sligo
in the cup. Follow that up with, you know, a poor result away to UCD. Like, I know there's no, you know, it's not the end of the world losing to UCD, but like, you know, still you have to do your best. Yeah, it's just the inconsistency is going to be a real issue for Kerry for a while yet.
Yeah. Do you know what though? They're now guaranteed that they cannot finish bottom. So that's nice. another slice of history for them.
Well, yeah, that's good. It's kind of like in the Premier Division in years past, there's always a team so bad that they're just going to be relegated from like April. You know, everybody knows it's going to happen. But Athlone just haven't been able for it at all. It's shocking.
Shocking. Yeah, I suppose that's kind of the main headlines from the First Division over the weekend. So what we'll do now, we'll go into the BTS Predictions League. And despite the fact the show didn't go out last week, I did keep track of the predictions, the scores. So I got 8 points last week. Gary, you got 6. And Cove Sport was playing for us last week on behalf of the listeners. And he came out on top with 9 points. So that leaves the league table like this. I'm bottom on 160. I'm only 7 points behind you now. You're on 167 after a bad few weeks. Listeners clear by 20 points at the top on 187. We're joined by Lionsy, a Bulls fan, on this week's pod. We'll start with the First Division games. Dundalk against UCD. Could this be a sticky one for Dundalk after their trouble in Longford?
Yeah, well, is Darrell Horgan back, is he?
Not sure about Horgan. Dervin is obviously back from his suspension. Anama Shahoon got a 10th yellow this season against Longford, so he'll be out. So a bit of a revolving door going on there at the minute. I'm not sure whether Conor O'Keefe will be back either. He was another important player that missed out on Saturday. So, but I think Dervin being back is obviously very important.
Yeah, very important. There's no doubt about it. I'm going to say, what are you thinking for your one of your many clubs?
I think this could be a really tricky fixture for Dundalk. I've been impressed with UCD over the last number of months. Wouldn't be surprised Dundalk just scraped this by a goal or so. But I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Okay, I'm going to go for a 0-0 draw.
Okay, and Lionsy going for a 1-1 draw as well. That would make things very, very interesting if Dundalk drop points again. Kerry against Treaty, Munster derby.
I think Treaty really have to go for this. I think it's going to be a very, very difficult game, but you have Wexford on a little bit of a run, putting stuff together.
When's the cup semi-final?
Oh, no, well, it's not next week anyway. I don't know when it is.
No, it's not next week because we're over in Europe, aren't they? 3rd of October, so a couple of weeks away. Yeah. I see, there's been a tight 1-1-1. 1-1. I'm going to be a week too late to the party with all these 1-1 predictions.
Yeah. I'm going to go 1-1 as well. Yeah.
Okay, so is Lionsy as well. Athlone against Wexford. It'd be a real shame after all Wexford hard work if they make a bags of it here.
Yeah, but I think they're going to make a bags of it. Now, Athlone had a man sent off last night.
They did, McKenna, 2 yellows. Yeah.
I know, Mikey Rowe's firing. I'll go 2-1 to Wexford. I'll play the form.
Going to follow you as well. Lionsy going 2-0 to Wexford. Cove against Harps. We think Dundalk have a tricky game, so Cove can get 3 points here. Could be a very interesting game.
A bit of pressure. And I think they're going to do it. They got a let off there. Longford Town bailed them out over the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to say... what will I say? I'm going to go for a 3-1 win to Cove.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 to Cove. Lionsy 2-1 to Cove. Bray against Longford.
Tough hunting ground for Longford. Took a bad beating there earlier on in the season. What was it? 4-0, wasn't it?
4-0, that was a bad night, yeah.
Yeah. Thankfully, it hasn't been repeated too much this year, but
Should mention as well, it was announced after the win against Dundalk that Wayne Groves will be staying on as Longford Town manager next season.
Yeah. Good that they got the business done earlier on, you know.
Get some players signed up now, hopefully. We hope to have them on the pod in the not too distant future. Bray against Longford. There's not a whole pile to play for either team. Bray are well sure of their playoff spot. Longford obviously want to finish as high up the table as they possibly can. But Longford's away form is very, very poor.
Mm.
I think from doing notes there before the Dundalk game, I think Wayne has two away wins in 30-something games. One of them against Castlebar. So that's one area he's going to have to brush
up on for
next season.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And Longford always get better against the bigger teams. How many times have we seen Atala this season? Pats a couple of years ago in the Cup when they went close. Obviously beat Sligo a couple of years back-to-back in the Cup. Always play better. The wins against Galway when no one else could beat Galway.
Yeah.
Always play better against the bigger teams. I'd be concerned that Longford might slip up here after everything that happened Saturday. I'll go 2-1 to Bray.
I'm going to go 1-1.
Okay, and Lionsy going 2-1 to Bray as well. Galway against Cork. Absolutely huge game. Have to win this, Galway. Have to win this.
I don't see it.
There should be guaranteed of a set-piece goal here after what happened on Monday night for Cork.
Yeah, but Galway will also be thinking like, oh, I'd say they would have been working on it all week. We couldn't possibly put a ball into the box. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of shite they're thinking. Obviously, I have absolutely no idea whether they're thinking that or not, but like, everything they turn their hand to turns to shit at the minute for Galway. Mm. And has been for a while. I'm going to say, do you know what? I'm going to say nil all.
You're going to go nil-nil. I'm going to go 1-1. Cork are scoring goals.
Yeah, I see that. All right.
Galway are not, but I think they might get a set-piece goal here or a scrappy one. Lionsy going 1-1 as well. Shells against Waterford.
Shells against Waterford.
Shells' final game before the Hacken tie next Thursday.
Hacken. I just think the problems at the back for Waterford are obviously a major problem. Now, they did better against Bowes, there's no doubt about it.
Mm.
I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Shells.
2-1 to Shells. Lionsy going 1-0 to Shells. I do see Waterford scoring.
Yeah.
I'll probably follow you, Gary, and go 2-1 to Shells.
Yeah, I can just see, like, being a tight one, but I think Shells will have enough to get it done.
Drogs against Derry?
This is a big one. This is a top four, 6-pointer. and just to see. Yeah, with Sligo and Pats playing the next night on Saturday, I'm going to go for. And that was actually. Was this a good result for a draw that the last time they played? Didn't they win with a heap of bullshit from Derry? If you remember that earlier on this season.
I was probably there. I was probably there and I can't even remember it.
Oh, there was some lad, oh, he thought the ref blew the whistle in the middle of the park and, oh, some comicalness from the Derry back four. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Drogheda.
I am going to follow you on that. And that 1-1 from Lionsy there, by the way. That brings us to Rovers against Bowes. Rovers could win the title if Derry are beaten and Rovers beat Bowes. But that's been a problem this season, as we know.
Certainly has been. And Bowes are, you know, they're doing okay. They're able to score goals themselves. You know, even if it was a bad loss, or not a bad loss, but like they still scored 3 against Derry. I'm I think both will spoil the party.
So do I.
I'm going to go, and I think it's going to be a banger. 2-2
I'm going to go 2-1 Bows.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And Lionsy, who's a Bows fan, going 2-2 Bows as well.
All right. Okay. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm not sure they'll be able to spoil it by beating them. I think Rovers are turning into a right animal at the minute. You know, they have a lot to look forward to with Europe and stuff like that, still in the cup. You know, could I have a feeling that Rovers will win the cup as well?
Yes.
So, you know, they need to be, you know, particularly actually, when was the last time, you know, in the four in a row? Like, I think the semi final is the furthest they've ever gotten the cup in any of those years. They always shit the togs in July or August in the cup. So they're actually getting far. So I think like now they're going, right, boys, we need to start firing now. This is, we haven't got to this point before. And that's the one thing that they've been missing out of their last few years of success is a double.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they're going to have to start just doing a bit of mincing the teams. Like that shit against Cork can't be really repeated again. So I'm going to say, yeah, but I think Bows will, you know, do a bit of pissing on the party. 2-2
And that leaves us with Sligo against Pats.
I really, really, really want to say that Sligo are going to break the unbeaten run for Pats. What do you think for this one?
I definitely think they have a chance of getting something out of the game. I mean, Pats didn't... Everything was presented to them on Monday. You know, they won 4-0, but... Well,
they didn't even have to think about it.
Yeah, you can't read much into that result at all.
No. And also, actually, I was at that... Remember the game where Rovers had a lad sent off and there was all that crying?
Yeah. You know,
this is the repeat of that, even though it's in the showgrounds. I'm going to go 1-1
I'm going to go 1-1 as well.
Hmm. Wouldn't be surprised, though, if they... They do beat them.
Yeah, Lionsy going 3-1 Pats.
What about your mate Cian Kavanagh scoring?
I was just going to say, so I think I made probably one of the worst predictions start of the season. I said he could be, I don't know, did I say could he be a dark horse for top scorer? I think I actually did, but...
You had a nightmare.
I mean, that goal he scored last night, now again, Brendan Clark did make a bit of a hash of it, but if that's one of the only goals he scores all year for Sligo, you know, it's one of the most important.
But he scored a hat-trick up in Richmond.
He did. But that's the most important goal he scored so far. So he's been a worthwhile signing if that's the goal that keeps them up.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that idea, but I know what you're saying. You know, the season will be long forgotten if they manage to stay up in these circumstances. So what's your man going for, Lionsy?
He went 3-1 Pats.
Ooh, I don't see that now. I would have concern about them stopping media. They'll have to get their thinking caps on for that one. But I think they'll be able to get something out again.
We've only got a couple of questions on the BTS hotline this week. I think the listeners would a bit of a protest voting with their feet after last week's debacle. So we can't blame them for that. But please do get back involved with the BTS hotline for upcoming shows. But a couple of questions this week. Owen, should UCD be talked about more as playoff contenders with their form? Bray, I worry about us at the back and the ability to defend set pieces. Cove should be favourites, but they've shown vulnerability to all contenders. I personally would have UCD as the dark horses for a good run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think they have the ability to beat all the teams in the playoffs. I know Bray were the surprise last year. I don't think that's something that they can repeat this year, though.
We've been writing them off all year and have surprised us, so who knows?
Yeah. Still don't see it. Strangely enough, I don't know why.
And then we've got Alan, who's a Bows fan. Has there been a season with a drop-off as bad as Galway and Waterford's? Also, has there been a worse title defence?
I suppose we could probably go back to, like you would say, you know, 2013 or 14 or something like that, you know, there was a few different clubs winning titles that year around that time.
You definitely have to go back a long time anyway.
Oh, you do. Oh, you do. There's no question about that. It is a dire title defense, but I suppose when you look across the entirety of the season, it's probably it's still a successful season for Shelburne getting into European group stages. You know, that's a brand new experience for them. What was the other question?
Has there been a drop off as bad as we've seen from Galway and Waterford?
I can't really remember one. You know, that's an interesting one.
Only one that would come to mind is Shell's
Irish national football team.
Shell's 2020 again. They were up there.
Talking
about them as European contenders, and then a few weeks later, all of a sudden, the whole thing had gone to shit.
And it really, really, really did go to shit.
Now, they'd only been promoted the year before, hadn't they? So I suppose Galway and Waterford.
You know what I mean? Like,
That's the last really bad drop off I could. Because at the start of this season, again, we were talking about Galway. I think we were both saying, Jesus, Galway will definitely be in the mix for the top four. Don't lose enough games, you know.
She's made a right bollocks of that.
Yeah, some bad shouts this year.
And actually, you said Alan was a Bulls fan. Is that right?
Yeah.
I was doing I think I mentioned this to you. I don't know what got me onto that. I was talking to another Bulls fan there yesterday, and we started making up a list of the number of Bulls players in the last like 6 or 7 years that have left Bulls and then won something quite soon after. And it's a very, 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 very long list. It's actually incredible. You know, even if you, like, you know, Luke Dennison left last summer and then won a cup. There's a lot of lads that have went on. You know, Danny Grant is probably going to win a title this season with Rovers. Maybe I'll flesh out that list and get your thoughts on it next week.
Yeah. I think that's it for this week, though, is it?
Yeah, that's all she wrote. I know we get to a game. Will we be heading down to Bray?
Might do. I have a few options on the table. Could go to Oriel, but...
boring.
Sure. Yeah, no, boring is right. I don't think I'll do that. It's either going to be Drogheda to Derry. Could be a Derry tasty one.
That'd be a hard one to drive past on the way down to Bray.
That could be a tasty one. But otherwise, I'm strongly considering Bray.
Oh, well, I think
even though it wouldn't be one of my favorite grounds now, I have to say.
No, certainly not. Actually, you know what? It's great. I wasn't able to go to the first Longford Bray game in the Carlisle this season, and I won't be able to go to this one on Friday. So, and I'm not that bothered. So, shin it.
Yeah, we'll see. But look, good to be back at it. Thanks for sticking with us and keeping patience. Trying a couple of weeks for the pod, but we're back up and running. That's all that matters. That was Series 9, Episode 31. Thanks to Joey O'Brien and Kevin Doherty for the chats. Thanks to our sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out Between the Stripes on Twitter. We're on TikTok as well, although that hasn't been that active of late. That's my doing, but mainly the Twitter we're on these days. But make sure you're subscribed or following the pod wherever you're listening. You can leave us a rate and a review or a comment on the Spotify. We enjoy those. And do get in touch with us on Twitter with any thoughts or comments. We do want to hear your thoughts on who's been the best player in the league this season. Has it been Graham Burke, Michael Duffy? Is there someone we're forgetting? Any other hot takes you've got for us, send them our way. We love to hear from them. But for this week, from Kieran Burke, from Gary Riley, from everyone here at Between the Stripes, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.